it's probably been, about a month or so, maybe two, when I told Doug that we were coming up. You guys can, if you don't mind, go ahead and turn it over to Mark, chapter 10. I said, hey, we're coming up, you know, and I've been telling him, I don't know what the Lord's doing in my life, but I said, I don't know if there's a call to preach or just a desire to tell others about Jesus or what the deal is. He said, well, it kind of looks like you have a call because you're already trying to weasel your way onto the program. So, I guess that's true, huh? I don't know. But please do be in prayer for me and the church at Grace Bible Baptist Church. We do say hello to y'all. We believe in the sovereign, eternal, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's been preached here today already. But we're gonna be looking at Bartimaeus. And on the program, it says the title is Blind Bartimaeus. But I think a more accurate title, which would be a longer one, would be the question that Jesus asked his disciples just ahead of this conversation with Bartimaeus. And it's the same that he asked Bartimaeus. What would that I should do unto thee? That's what Jesus asked. And that's a very, very sobering question. And we have two very different answers. This word that we're going to have today, first and foremost, is to be an exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does something for a sinner that we cannot do for ourselves. He pulls us out of a place of despair, out of a place of ruin, out of a place of hopelessness and helplessness. And He sets our feet upon the rock, and He is that rock. Secondly, it's an indictment on me, and we'll get to that in a second. Hopefully, this is an encouragement to you as believers that your witness is important and is used of Christ. And if you're here without Christ, I hope you hear one thing here today among these men, and it's been told over again, that Jesus is near. You're a sinner, but Jesus is near. So let's begin reading in verse 32 of Mark chapter 10. And they were in the way going to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. He stood up before them. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were terrified, and they were frightened. And as they followed, they were afraid. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, He was very plain about it. Behold, take note. Listen up. We go to Jerusalem. This is it. I start telling you guys about these things, but it's coming. It's here. The time is at hand. It's coming. The Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him and shall scourge Him and shall spit upon Him and shall kill Him. And the third day He shall raise again. The gospel of Jesus Christ, delivered by Jesus Christ. Amen. Simple, plain, very direct. Very direct. Sometimes we like to get on our Facebook discussions and cut each other down, you know, splitting hairs about things. Let's get to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Him crucified, Him resurrected. You know, there's a discussion going on about how folks should dress when they speak in front of people. A necktie never saved a soul.
Right.
And neither did a pair of sandals, and neither did straight hair combed this way or that way. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But picture this. Here's the indictment on me. Following Jesus, giving His gospel to these afraid and amazed men, the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the one that they had seen miracles worked across all this time, their friend. When He gave them the gospel, what would have been a rational response? You know, tears, bitterness, self-evaluation, as it's been brought up. What's our response to the gospel of Christ? If we're believers here, what is our response to the gospel of Christ? Is it something that we would lay aside? Oh, I heard that yesterday. Let's not make time for it today. These men, it was brought up earlier, they took for granted maybe, you know, the words that were given to them. And we'll see the response here in just a moment. But these men forgot that they were once beggars. When they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, did they remember that work that he just described very vividly to them would be their very redemption? No, their answer, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in Mark chapter 3, they're called Boanerges, the sons of thunder. They, along with Peter, oftentimes called the inner circle, they were nearer to Jesus, not because he loved them more, but because they wanted to be near him more. They came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Do we come to God knowing and pleading with him, God, please do my desire? Do we? Do I? And listen to what he said. I mean, we can run over that and spend time here. But he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? What a master. What a savior. What a friend. The King of all glory, as we come to him in prayer, he says the same thing to us that he said to these people, and the same thing he says to Bartimaeus, what would ye that I should do unto you? Now, what do I say? You know, when I go to God in prayer, in fervent prayer, does my fervent prayer sometimes look like this? Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the food. Forgive me of my sin. Amen. Back to Sports Center. Or do they beg and plead? What is your desire? If Jesus Christ were here today, as he says he is in his word, what is your desire before God? What would you say to him that he should do unto you? Do we go to God in prayer, crying over our loved ones, crying over our own sinfulness? You know, repentance isn't a one-time thing. Right. Repentance is an ongoing thing. Amen. And we should go to God in prayer. God, don't help me through this sin. God, take me out of this sin. Deliver me from my sinfulness. Get me out of these sins. Give me strength to get away from these sins and leave that proverbial coat in that sin's hand and get out of there. God, help me. You know what I need more than I know what I need. God, help me. God, only you can save my children. I can't. God, help me. God, save them. You know their need. Apparently, to the disciples, whenever they asked him, when John and James said, hey, Jesus, can we get whatever we want? Like an older brother would do a young brother trying to sneak on him or something. And he said, what is it you want? What's the one thing that we would ask God for? Jesus himself. What would we ask him for? Do we spend time thinking about what we would ask God for? Do I? Not as I should. Not as I should. But in verse 38, he says, but Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism of mine baptized with shall ye be baptized. Well, James was killed by the sword in Acts chapter 12, verse 2, and John ended up in exile. Neither one tasted of the judgment of God, but they both suffered at the hands of men for the testimony of Christ. And that's a different message. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Why? Was it because they thought that James and John were irreverent approaching the Master in such a way? Or they thought, hey, these guys, they're trying to get a spot that maybe we should have had. They tried to take our spot maybe. Or maybe they ruined it for everybody and nobody gets to sit next to the king now. But either way, they were mad. These men, they're just like men today, you know. They are. They're jealous. They're haughty. I'm haughty. I'm jealous. And And I want a place of elevation. I want a place that people say, wow, look at him. You know, isn't he something? And if we're honest, a lot of us are like that, have a sense of pride about it. But Jesus called them to him. That's another parallel from what we see with Bartimaeus. Jesus called them to him. If we're to have any understanding of what this book says, it is to come from the Lord Jesus Christ out of his word. This is his word talking about him. It's not his word talking about me and proving my points. These are his points. And as the guy said, you know, we don't write the mail, we just deliver it. You know, we should tell the points of Jesus Christ. He said to them, you know that which are counted to rule over the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. They wanted to be great. He says, okay, be great, go be ministers. And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank God that Jesus Christ gave his life for many. Christ was and is and ever shall be the greatest. And he became the greatest minister, servant, by his gospel. So as a servant, he went out to seek out servants. He went out to seek out his friends. And here we see him coming to Jericho. In verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. This man was altogether insufficient. He was in complete need and was at the mercy of those he could not see. His understanding was void of things that were before him. He was an off-ramp beggar. We have those today. You can picture him. He had his version of his cardboard sign, I'm sure. He had his backpack or whatever things he had. And he had his cup of loose change. I'm going to get personal with myself here, so bear with me. How many beggars do I witness to? Or do I go to people that I think that God ought to like, that He ought to love? Do I go to folks that, man, they would be upright. They look like they should be somebody. Or do I go to not just the figurative beggars, but the literal beggars? Those folks on the ramps, those folks in the alleys that are begging for change. Do I go to what we would call the lowest of men or to the highest of men? And I tell them, not, hey, you want to come to church with me, but hey, we're sinners and Jesus died for sinners. The gospel isn't in a invitation to church, although it's a wonderful thing to invite somebody to church. The gospel is in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Do I remember when I see beggars, both literal and figurative, that I'm a beggar? Not was a beggar, but am a beggar. I'm a beggar of grace. Today, right now, I'm a beggar of grace. God saves beggars. That's who He saves, is beggars. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, David, and I've got some of these, I didn't know how fast my heart would be racing, so I have all my scriptures written down, but 1 Samuel chapter 22, David's on the run for his life. He really is. Saul's looking out to kill him. And David, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, when they heard it, they went down thither to him. I'm not an overly bright person, so I really like this passage. It's alliterated for us, if you're looking for points. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. If that's not a picture of where I was when God saved me, there's not a better one, I don't think. If you do a search on what those words mean, distress, I used to cut firewood, and I remember one time I had a hydraulic press, and this piece was all knotted and twisted, and it was horrible looking, and we put the pressure down on it, and that thing sweated and creaked and bowed, and then pop! It was under distress. It had nowhere to bend. It was in absolute distress. Well, that's the soul of one who knows they're a sinner. And everyone that was in debt, what greater debt do we have than our sin debt? My sin debt, the sins that Jesus took upon Himself. My sin debt, there was nothing to pay it. Proverbs says that a false balance is an abomination. Well, guess what? My righteousness was a false balance. But a just weight, the Lord Jesus Christ, is His delight. And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto Him, and He became a captain over them when they heard it. God saves beggars. And when He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, He began to cry out. Not mumble. He began to cry out, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." This is a huge verse. First of all, we see that He knew that Jesus was there because somebody told Him. Remember, this is a blind man. And Jesus, I don't think that He went around banging a pot saying, "I'm Jesus, I'm Jesus." There was a crowd, there was a swell, and people were telling, "Jesus is here, Jesus is here." So first of all, we need to tell people that Jesus is near. He's not afar off, He's near. Secondly, we see that He knew that Jesus was the Son of David because He believed the Davidic covenant, and someone told Him that thing, the Davidic covenant, and that Jesus was the Messiah of the house of Israel, and all that were to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, Son of David, the one that they'd been hoping for. Now that's a lot of head knowledge for a beggar, what you say. But here's another indictment on me. Sometimes I'm so concerned that people know about TULIP, and they know about this, and they know about that, and I'm so concerned about that, but I forget to tell them that Jesus is near. This blind man, he didn't know if Jesus was behind him. He didn't know if he was beside him. He didn't know where he was. So evidently somebody said, "Hey," or not even directly to him. Maybe they heard it in passing. They heard it, and he heard it in passing, that Jesus is the Son of David. But look, He's too far away. He's not for you. He wouldn't save someone like this beggar. People have ears, you know. He wouldn't save someone like this beggar. Maybe we can get a good spot over there so we can see him real good. Someone gave him, either directly or indirectly, the gospel, but told him that he was afar off. But when he heard that Jesus was near, when he heard that Jesus is near, he cried out, "Have mercy on me." That cry for mercy was in absolute panic and desperation. Remember, there's a crowd here, right? What is there here probably today? 40, 50 people. And when we get all going together in the music, it's hard to talk to somebody across the room. Now picture there's hundreds of people all trying to get to this miracle worker, this person that everybody wants to see. So he gave it everything he had. He wanted to be heard from this man. It was desperation. It was now or never for this man. And sinner, if you're here outside of Christ, I don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow for you, and neither do you. Now. See yourself as a sinner now. Cry out to Jesus now. He's near. I'm so concerned. But am I concerned enough? Christ is near. Psalm chapter 77. Sometime read that whole psalm. If you ever want to read a Hebrew lyric about my conversion, read Psalm chapter 77. But I'll give you a couple verses out of it. It says, "The chief musician to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph." I like the way Asaph writes his psalms because he tells us the point right away, and then you can kind of get what's going, you know, follow it along after. But he says, "I cried unto God with my voice even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. The creator of all things, the ruler of all things, the great I am, when this wretch before you cried out in fear and terror for his own sin, he gave ear unto me. I don't know if you know this man right here. That's my real dad, my earthly dad. He's hard of hearing sometimes. He doesn't always hear everything I have to say. But when God the Father heard me, have mercy on me, Jesus Christ, by His power and through the Spirit, saved my poor unworthy soul. Jesus is near. I cried unto God, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My trouble ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And you can read on down through here. It was a horrible thing. Remember where you were when that healer came and found you begging on the wayside. Where were you? How far different are we now? Are we not still sinners in this flesh? I am. Jesus, have mercy on me. My God, have mercy on me. As you read this Psalm of Asaph, he couldn't find his friends. He couldn't find the fun he used to have. He couldn't find any joy or pleasure. He couldn't even speak. He was so distraught in sin, just like those fellows that gathered to David we read in Samuel just a few minutes ago. If you cut your way down to verse 13 in the Psalm, it says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? The way is Christ. There is no other way. Thy way." If we're trying to get anywhere by my way or your way, there is no way. But Thy way, the way of salvation, O God, is in the sanctuary. So with that being the case, knowing these things, many charged him, back in Mark chapter 10 and verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up, man. We just brought you along here. Because you're embarrassing us. What's he want with you? You know, there's many more out there that could do a lot more. Even if he does say you Bartimaeus, what's he going to do with you? You're useless. Tell you what, Jesus can take nothing and make something out of it. And not saying that I am something, but you got proof right in front of you. He sure found a nothing in me. But this beggar preaches a good testimony. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to anywhere. All he knew, he was a sinner, and he needed a Savior. You know, my kids, and they teach a pretty good lesson on this. I'm one of these parents that I do use corporal punishment. And when they got one coming, they cry out to me in mercy. They don't say to me, "I didn't do it." They say, "Please, please, have mercy on me." What a lesson from a child. Please, please, have mercy on me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Have mercy on me. That's the cry of a beggar. You're the King, Son of David. The royal bloodline is coming through your veins. And you're the Son of God. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I need mercy. We all need mercy. And Jesus stood still. Fathom that. He stood still. God Almighty, God in the flesh, heard the cries of a beggar. And He stopped Himself. He stopped Himself. Christ was certainly better than Bartimaeus. Sometimes I think I'm too good to witness to somebody or tell them about Christ. Christ was certainly better than Bartimaeus. In the fullness of time and the providence of God, this particular sinner cried out for mercy, and the only Savior heard them. There's multiple Psalms that talk about the sinner, the one who's grieving, crying out to God, and He heard me. I cried out to God, and He heard me. Cry out to God. See yourself as a sinner, because you are. See yourself as one that is facing eternal judgment because of your sins, because you are. See yourself in need of a Savior. Flee to the captain. Flee. Run to Him. Cry out to Him. So Jesus commanded him to be calling. To be called. Remember, He called the disciples. Come here, let me learn you something. So now He calls Bartimaeus. Come here, let me learn you something. Now think about this. These two men, James and John, wanted to be, because Jesus had just given the gospel, they wanted to be, He was not the most important person of all time. They wanted to be the second and third most important people in all human history. Is what they're asking for. Elevated the positions number two and number three. And He called them, come here, just like He called this beggar, come here. You see, as sinners, we're all on the same playing field. We all need the grace of God. He summoned him, He came, and the blind man said unto him, be of good comfort, arise, He calleth thee. Be of good comfort, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And we know in Colossians chapter 2, we won't turn there for time's sake, but it's completely under the operation and efficiency of God Almighty that we are saved. But through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, through the calling of God the Father, and through the working of the Holy Spirit in the soul. Thank God for the operation that He cast on such beggars. And He casting away His garment. Remember, we talked about He was a beggar. He had what He had, and that's what He had. He cast away His garment. He cast away the old life. He arose and came to Jesus. He did that because Jesus called him. But he did that casting away the old stuff. He didn't keep his old stuff and say, oh boy, now I can really get it. You know, now I have eternal comfort, and now I can do whatever I want. No, He cast that garment aside. And now He's riding with the King. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Listen to His response compared to the disciples who had followed Him for 3 years. The blind man said unto him, Lord, he approached him in humility. He approached him as one who stood in need of the grace of God. He said, that I might receive my sight. God, I've got a need. I don't want something. I don't want praise and honor and glory and riches and a nice 401k. And I don't want excess and blessings. And I don't want pleasant accommodations. I don't want my ex-wife to come back to me. I want healing. God, help me. I need restoration. I need You. He says unto God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's begging. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Listen to this. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. In whose way? Did he go thy way? No, he followed Jesus in the way. He became a follower of Christ. And everything else was added under that. But man, he was good. You couldn't hurt Bartimaeus all the rest of his life. So those 4 points that we wanted to hit here. Yes, Christ is exalted because He alone can pull us beggars off the wayside and gather him unto Himself, His children, children of the King. An indictment. My witness is faulty. And I approach God as the disciples approach God in a way that's presumptuous, and in a way that I'm almost expected to receive something from God. An encouragement. Your witness. If you're telling folks about Christ, you might be witnessing to person A in front of you, but person B over here, they could overhear that. God used that, you know? He could use that to bring others into salvation. And number 4, sinner. Jesus is near. You're a sinner and unworthy, and and deserving hell. But Jesus is near. Call on Him. Cry out to Him. See yourself in need of a Savior. He is the Savior. Cry out to Him, for Jesus is near.